Well, that kind of reminded me of somebody who was in our youth group years ago. Head toward Max Creek, boys home. Fellow by the name of Lance. I don't know. He'd sing out. You know, I Brother Fred, he used to always scare Helen to death, you know. And so I thought I'd try it sometime, you know. She was down here in the basement, all dark down there. And I tried scaring her, and she yelled so loud, I got scared to death myself. But, you know, being as ornery as I am, one time Lance was in the other building. And boy, he almost fell off the piano one time. He came in there and hollered something. I thought, I'm not scaring people anymore. I'm too nervous for this. But anyway, we had some good times. I mentioned my wife this morning, and, you know, I was talking to this one fellow bigger than me at the Preston Cafe. We got a big, big establishment there. Not really. Anyway, there's probably as many people in town as are here tonight. But eating breakfast, and we joke around a little bit and stuff, and bigger than I am, he's got a little wife like I do, you know. And I said, we got to start a husband abuse center around here, you know, for abused husbands. Because I've told her, don't pick on somebody your own size, right? But anyhow, then I told Brother Abels about it. And he's all in favor of it. So maybe he'll help support us, the husband abuse. But anyhow, good to be here. We've had wonderful accommodations just staying right here. Missions Department, just a wonderful time in the Lord. Psalm 16. I guess we'll stand for the reading of God's word, Psalm 16, verse 1. Good to see you. Good crowd here tonight. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is a portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou must maintainest my lot. The lions are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. Let's say this one together. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these that have come out tonight. What a blessing it is to see a church standing for the truth. And I know they are, but just to be here again with this great spirit here tonight. Young people, all ages, serving the Lord, loving you. And I just pray that this message might challenge our hearts and might draw us closer to you tonight, Lord. Meet every spiritual need here, we pray. We praise you in advance for meeting with us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I kind of wrestled with what to preach. Had a few different ones going. I make a little sermon flower garden. I was taught that studying for the ministry, and just put different thoughts down. And sometimes I actually can put two thoughts together. It's kind of rare, but sometimes they just die of loneliness, but one does. But anyhow, this is a special passage to me here. I had one of the boys asked me to sign their Bible today, and then I put this verse, Psalm 16:11. My favorite verse used to be Proverbs 4:23, talking about our attitude, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That's still a special one to me, but this one here kind of overtook it in my heart, special verse to me. I believe, of course, it refers to Christ in verse 10 about His Holy One would not see corruption. Thank God that he rose from the dead. He didn't stay there long enough for his body to decay, but he rose from the dead the third day. But I believe it's also a psalm that describes a relationship with the believer and the Heavenly Father. And, you know, the title of my message this evening is I've Got It Made. And so do you, if you know the Lord. We've got it made. See, here it says in verse number 5, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. You know, there's sometimes people find out that there's somebody, a rich person in their family, whatever, that is able to leave something for them, and it's unexpected. And they talk about having a great inheritance. But no matter what we inherit in this lifetime, we're going to leave it all behind, aren't we? But we've got an inheritance incorruptible, and it's guarded by God in heaven. We have an inheritance in heaven. But we also have a spiritual inheritance right here on earth. The position of a believer. What God has done for us. I did a message recently on Philemon, and it touched my heart, not because it's anything new. You folks have heard this before. But how Paul interceded for Philemon. And he was a runaway prisoner, as you know, and defrauded his master, Philemon, the godly man. But Paul led him to the Lord from a Roman prison and said he was in past time unprofitable. His name meant profitable, and he became profitable. But, you know, that's a lesson for us, that God can change people's lives. But he said, if he owes you anything, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, he says, put it on my account. Thank God, our Lord Jesus Christ took his righteousness and said, put that on my account. We're counted righteous through the Beloved. That's the only way we make it to heaven. And he took our sins upon him. Our sins were laid on him, imputed to him, so to speak, even though he knew no sin, never was affected by sin personally, but he was treated as if he was sin. He was a sin offering. Our Lord Jesus Christ, through his poverty, he came here. So often we think about, he came here to die, of course, but he also was rich. For our sakes, he became poor, that we, through his poverty, might be made rich. He left the worship of heaven, the glories of heaven. He took the greatest step down ever, and I won't do this because I might hurt myself, but he stepped down from glory, and he stepped down to this world to be despised and rejected of men. Oh, what a Savior he is. What an inheritance we have in the Lord Jesus Christ and knowing him. I've been saved for over 50 years, and I just can't imagine not knowing the Lord. It's been a good while now of a path with him. Sometimes I've been further away, sometimes I've been closer. But the greatest times in my life have been in his presence, in his presence in church. Every time we come to the Lord's house, we need to realize we're specially in his presence. He said, as I said this morning, where two or three are gathered, and there's more than that tonight, in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And I'm preaching to the choir tonight because I know you're faithful people, but don't devalue going to the house of God to not only seeing the saints of God, but to be in his presence in a special way, in public worship. But all we need him through the week to be in his presence, to spend time with God, to realize his presence there with us. You know, no matter what happens, that's something that cannot be taken away from us. When I was a young man, it's been a little while back, but I've never grown up. I'm still trying to figure out what I'm going to do when I grow up. But anyway, in basic training, brainwash, you know, and they throw these clothes at you and take the clothes, whether they, you know, they fit or not, they throw them at you. And then that night you get your blessed haircut, you know, and they use a shaver, just shave all of it off. And I'm laying there awake at night and I'm rubbing my scalp, you know, and feeling those little nubs, and I couldn't sleep that night. And I thought, you know, they can take a lot of things away from me, but I still know the Lord. And I'm on the flight line late at night, 14-hour night, and I'm supposed to be guarding this airplane that wasn't there. It was just some kind of practice, you know. And here's me, you know, I'm kind of hyper anyway. I'm walking back and forth, and they got this support here, right, supposed to kind of block the planes or separate the planes, and that's all you had. I end up almost falling asleep there. But, you know, during the night, I realized, again, started singing the songs of Zion. I realized, hey, there's some things they can yell at me. They can curse me. They can tell me what to do. They can't take away my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's one thing, no matter what happens in this country, and we hope it doesn't get bad for you folks, that in the days to come, and for myself, I believe it could get worse, but I'm looking for the rapture. And you know, it's going to get a lot worse then. All you're going to have is just a bunch of rebels here, and those that have rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it, you think it's getting bad now, it is, but it's going to get even worse in a short period of time. Well, we'll look at three things in this passage. In this one verse here, the path of life, it talks about. God has showed us the way to live. Young people, all ages, sometimes we forget what it's all about. Why are we still here? We're all here, of course, to glorify God, to have a relationship with God. It's all a test, my folk, my friends. You know, they used to have it on the radio. That shows how old I am, listening to the radio. But anyway, make that annoying sound that, you know, and I cringe. We all cringe. This is just a test. Emergency broadcasting system. You know, they still have tornado tests. I don't know why they don't just have it musical or nice. It's got to be annoying, right, to get our attention. But anyway, it's just a test. And that's the way life gets. One test after another. Sometimes they are hard. Sometimes they are annoying. But the major test, you folks know, in life between birth and between death is that sometime after the age of understanding that we come to a place where we're tired of our whole life without Christ. We don't know all our sins, but we have a turning point where we turn by a repentance and faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we take of that greatest gift of all, everlasting life. And that should never get old for us, my friends. That should stay wonderful for us to not lose the joy of our salvation and the wonder of it all. Oh, the wonder of all, just to think that God loves me. Oh, God knows more about you than anybody else. How would you like all your thoughts put on the screen tonight for us all to see? Every thought. You know, one person said to me, I have some trouble with my thoughts. I must not be saved. Well, welcome to the club. We've all had trouble with our thoughts from time to time. You know, and we get thoughts planted there by Satan. We don't have to keep them there. We need to just bring those thoughts in captivity to Christ. What is this path like? The Bible makes clear. It's a path of blessing. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. This is a downward progression. Some people start walking and listening to the wrong advice. And nor standeth in the way of sinners. That's another step down where we start hanging around with the wrong people. And we get away from God. Or even later, sitting in the seat of the scornful. We actually become bad company. But there's a better life than getting away from God. There's a better way life than getting out of his presence and getting on the unrighteous path. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. What a path. Psalms makes clear the path of the righteous, or the way of the righteous. In Proverbs, it's more talked about as a path. Well, it's the same idea. Our way is not good. The way of the world is not any good. As for God, his way is perfect. Amen. And I need his help every moment. Yeah. Blessed are the poor in spirit. I heard that, brother, I'm going to listen to it later. Brother Ben preached at our church, and we got it on Facebook, so I can listen to that and enjoy that sermon. And my brother said he preached on pride this morning. Boy, how much we need that. It's something that gets in the way of us getting close to God. But oh, to realize, Lord, I need you every moment. Yeah. Blessed are those that realize they're needy in spirit. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. God has special blessings for us that enjoy this word, that enjoy God, the holy God, the all-powerful God, that we can go directly, and we're even asked to go directly into the presence of God Almighty. What a things we our blessings we take for granted sometimes. But let us come boldly. That doesn't mean irreverently. But we realize he is God. He's the Almighty. We don't deserve to come in that presence. Like the choir sang, it's through the blood of Jesus Christ. It never loses its power. It's like a freshly slain whey. It says in Hebrews, a newly slain Christ in a sense. That's how fresh and that's how powerful his blood is, that we can be bold and say, yes, he wants me to go. He wants to be with me. I believe he misses it when we don't go to him on a regular basis. You know what we underestimate, and I include myself sometimes, is the heart of God. Just think about wonderful parents. There's some wonderful parents here today. And we had the privilege of working with some of you folks years ago. And your kids are no longer kids, and they have kids, or they're grown up. And that's humbling. But anyway, to see the great parents that have an influence in people's lives. And God's a perfect parent. He's a perfect heavenly father. And he cares so much about each one of you. Amen. Just to hear from you. Just to spend time with you. What a blessing that is for a parent. What a blessing that is for God. I believe God loves you so much. I believe Christ would have gone to the cross for you. I really believe that. And me. But he didn't do that. But our God has a love beyond our comprehension. The Bible says to know the love of God that passeth knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Oh, just to begin to know how much he loves us. It's the path of life. It is the path of blessing. It's a plain path. Psalm 27, verse 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. If you're in a battleground, you got enemies chasing you, you don't want to be like me out in the woods and get lost and get confused. But you want to know where you're going. Sometimes you're following this GPS, and this lady kind of tells you where to go. Turn here. You know, I'm just not used to that, women telling me what to do. But anyway, she says, turn here, turn there. You know, and they're right about 99% of the time. Once in a while, they sent us the wrong direction, and we get in trouble. And I get in trouble anyway, you can tell. But anyway, Proverbs 3:17 tells about this path that God sends us down. It says, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Talking about wisdom. Wisdom in the book of Proverbs. Oh, the benefits of wisdom. They tend to bless our life with better health. Does that mean that somebody has troubled their health? They're not godly? No, these are shown tendencies. They tend to give us better health, better joy, to a longer life. It tends to a longer life, and it tends to give us enjoy whatever life that we have. It's pleasant to have peace. It's pleasant to know that God loves us. It's pleasant to spend time with him. You know, sometimes we don't like our own company. You ever get that way? And it's kind of hard to get away from yourself. I've tried to do it, and, you know, self is still there. But anyway, we don't have to just be alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. It's one of the greatest promises in scriptures. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake me. Amen. Be content with such things as you have. You know, we hear things all the time, and we got to have this and we got to have that, and people go almost under just to get something to make them happy. Oh, if they just had this, they'd be happy. But the Bible says, be content with such things as you have. Instead of getting in debt, that's not a good thing. Debtor is slave borrower is slave to the debtor. But anyway, pleasantness in the presence of God. People take all kinds of drugs and things to try to get peace, to try to get joy. And they don't know. They're like walking in the darkness, and they're stumbling because they're not on the right path, the path of righteousness. Psalm 23, very familiar passage, talks about how he leads us. We've got a perfect shepherd that's give our life for us. He's called the Good Shepherd in John 10. But he is our shepherd. And he says, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He knows what's best for the sheep. And he does it for our sake, but also for his glory. These two things are important to God, that we glorify him, but also that we have the best life because he loves us in the paths of righteousness, doing what's right. We just don't have, you know, our willpower is not enough to accomplish that. Whatever resolution we have, that's good, but it's not enough. We need Him to rely on the power within, the Holy Spirit and Christ in us, the hope of glory. Here's the Proverbs 4:18, but the path of the just, that's those who are justified by His precious blood, those who are considered righteous by what He has done, that have trusted in Him. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Wow, it just gets better for the child of God. No wonder He said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of God forever. You know, one Sunday school lesson really stuck with me. I've heard some good ones here this morning and other times, but one sticks with me from the past when I was about 20 years old, and I was in the Air Force. I just discovered the truth. I was already saved. I went from different group to another group. I didn't know where to go. I didn't want to go to a Baptist church. The reason I didn't is I thought I had been taught wrong that Baptists believe the water washes away your sins. Far from the truth. So I'm desperate. I go to the Church of Christ. They didn't even have any music there. And no teaching at all. We're just climbing the walls there. We're ready to get out of that place. So I'm desperate. I go to this Baptist church in Abilene, Texas. And wow, it was different. God was working in that church. And they were preaching the truth. And I didn't want to go home. I wanted to keep hearing the truth of God's word. And I was already saved, but scripturally baptized. And I learned the paths of righteousness, the right ways to go, that it is the best path for anyone, for the child of God to go. And, you know, the more and more we get one of these days, we're going to be presented faultless before His presence, the perfect day. Our salvation is not complete in one sense. You've heard this many times, that when we were saved from the penalty of sin. That's justification or salvation, and then we are being saved from the power of sin, that's sanctification. We shall be saved from the very presence of sin, glorification in His presence forever. Go home to sin no more. Wow, that'll be good. I believe the child of God, especially one that's close to God, if they could push a button, it says no more sin, I believe we'd push that button. Unfortunately, we won't have that chance to do that. But there's no individual time that we have to sin, because the Bible says sin no longer has dominion over us. We have a choice on each occasion. We don't always make the right choice, but we have the power to say no through the help of God. So the path of life, God's way is the best way. I know you know this. I just want to reinforce it in your hearts, because we do have Satan to contend with, because we do have the world trying to pull on us, because we do have the flesh each day that tries to drag us down, our own sin nature. The path is the best path to go. The presence of God is special. Secondly, in this passage, Thou wilt show me the path of life in Thy presence. In the presence of Jehovah. What a thought that is, to be in the presence of God. That we can have an audience with the God. We might call a friend, whatever, or a loved one, even a close family member, we might not get through. These phones are kind of crazy sometimes, and they don't work like they should. They're kind of a miracle invention, but they don't always work like they should. But it says here in the song, in the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish, hearts are mended, in the presence of the King. Through His love, the Lord provided a place for us to rest, a place to find the answers in the hour of distress. Now, there is never any reason for you to give up in despair. Just slip away and breathe His name. He'll surely meet you there. Amen. The line's never busy. He's never distracted. He never, if it's the middle of the night, He never slumbers nor sleeps. And we can be there in the presence of Jehovah. Amen. Hey, I got a good cure for insomnia. Just start quoting verses or start reading the Bible. The devil will see to it that you'll fall asleep. At least you get some sleep. But anyway, the path of life, the presence of God. Moses had this prayer. You talk about a guy that had to hear a lot of complaining. It's Moses. Can you imagine 3 million people, approximately is what they guess, that they took across the Red Sea? God gave them bread, manna to eat. He gave them fish after they complained. He never could do enough. He'd get worn out. But one thing he did is he got closer to God. And he was the closest of God to anybody that day, that age. And God only allowed him to go up and receive the commandments on Mount Sinai. He had a special closeness with God. And he pleaded with God, don't take away thy presence. He says, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. I don't want to go if I'm not in your presence. If I lose your power in my life. If I don't sense you being there. If I don't hear your voice, so to speak. We should be a desperation about that. Well, that we would hear from God. And, you know, I got a fellow in our church. And he said, I haven't heard from God lately for a good while. But, you know, he was facing death. And he was one that kind of knew ahead of time that he was getting short. And he got back in the Word. And he back in studying. Back in prayer. And God used him in a great way before he passed to talk to each one of his relatives. It was like Brother Clifford Burl. Some of you remember him. He was when I first came to this church, I knew people at other churches. I didn't know anybody here. But God just led me here to this church as a student. And I felt this is where God wants me to learn. And I knew that there's great preaching and great fellowship. But a man named Clifford Burl, he's just a common everyday fellow that cared. And of course, Brother Fred and Sharon, they helped encourage us and other people that were here at that time were a blessing to us. But, you know, greatest of all is I believe God met us here. And God spoke to our hearts here. And it's great to be in the presence of God and to hear God's voice. You come to the house of God, it may not even be anything the pastor said, but just being there in his place that we agree to come to worship together and glorify God together, God will speak to our hearts and show us the way to go. I like the promises in God's word that tell us that he'll show us the ways to go. Several promises like that. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Just think if we had the perfect guide. I was talking with Brother Gary about Mexico. We went there a few times, and it was a blessing. It's scary down there. It's scary in Springfield sometimes. It's scary, and I'm not real, you know, unless God called me to go down there for something. I'm not real interested in going to a foreign country right now. Pretty wicked. But, you know, we needed a guide there. We had somebody that knew the language, and he could kind of protect me. I'm trying to follow him. They had this, like, 10-lane road in Monterey, and they're going 100 miles an hour, it seemed like. And I'm supposed to stay behind this fellow. Somehow, through the grace of God, I survived. But no lanes marked or anything, and they're driving like crazy. But anyway, God was with us. God's presence was with us. He's with us all the time. And he loves us. He cares for us. He protects us. The Bible says, really, you know, teaches, and I'm not teaching you anything new. I'm just trying to reinforce what you already know. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, Psalm 91. This is a prayer of Moses, the man of God. And then Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What a place to rest, to get that close to him. You know, that's the happiest place to be. There, the path, the presence, in thy presence, it's a path of life. It's fullness of joy at thy right hand. There's pleasures forevermore. There's pleasures in the presence of God. We were created to love him. We were created to have that special place in our life where he is God. He's worshiped. He's different than anyone else and above everyone else in our life because of his grace, of his wonders, of his perfection. God created us not to kill all our pleasures, but to have him as our first pleasure. And then we can enjoy the things of life when we have things in the right perspective and realize everything comes from his bountiful hand. That there is pleasure in prayer. There's pleasure in seeing God's work in our lives. There's pleasure in worship, worshiping him. You know, I believe who is the most joyful man that ever lived? I believe it was the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, 45 verse 7, thou lovest righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, it's talking about his throne in verse 6, by the way, it says, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Wow. Why was he so glad? He's a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. He was despised and rejected. His own siblings even didn't understand what was so special about him. Many rejected him. But yet there's joy deep down in his heart. Why? Because there's joy to do the Father's will. There's joy to do right. There's joy in righteousness. Amen. And he did the right thing every time. Amen. He always said the right thing. He always gave the right answer. Yep. Perfect in all of his ways. No wonder he was anointed with joy above his fellows. John, the beloved disciple. I used to wonder what that meant. The disciple whom Jesus loved. And I scratched my head and I said, what in the world? And then I looked back in James and it says, draw nigh unto God. He'll draw nigh to you. The closer we get to God, the more we feel his love. The more we experience his love. Just like sometimes with parents and kids. We try to get closer to them, and if they don't let us, how are we going to show our love to them? But that's true in any relationship. But our God loves us so much that he wants us to abide in him, to remain attached to him. And he used this apostle John, probably the closest apostle to the Lord Jesus Christ, that knew about abiding in him. He used him to record these words down about the true, the vine and the branches. And he said, these things have I spoken unto you, that your joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. Stay in the word. Abide in the word. Abide in Christ. Stay in the word. Stay in prayer. Abide in his love, it says. You want to have full joy? Well, you know, I told you, I'm telling the truth. I am like a kid. I was making a vow one time, and we were messing around. I said, you know, I want to stay a kid forever. I don't know if I should have said that or not. But anyway, I still enjoy life, and I have held down some responsibilities over the years. But, you know, I don't want to miss out on anything. I'm still a kid. We got kids I hang around with sometimes, try to help them for the Lord up there. But, you know, I don't want to miss out on anything in life that's good and decent. And this should be our desire as a Christian, that we not miss out in the pleasures of God's presence, in the pleasures of seeing him answer prayer, in the pleasures of learning things from God's word, be able to maybe pass it on to someone else. Not everybody's called to preach or to teach, but you can be a blessing and share something that God shared with you to a loved one or friend, and just be used by God and enjoy this life which you were created for. That's what's Christian liberty. Christian liberty is not to go around and do as you please in the flesh. That leads to bondage. Christian liberty is to meet our highest goal. As a child of God, we want to please him, and we want to know him. That's God liberates us to do right, because he knows it helps us, and it also glorifies him. So in his way, there's pleasures. You know, someone might get up and say, you know, I gave up so much for God. And, you know, I'm glad I don't hear that very often, because that's not the way it is. Oh, I gave up this and this and this, and I came to Christ. They didn't give up nothing. They came to Christ, and God, by his mercy, gave them new life, a home in heaven, Holy Spirit, all the rest of it. And you know, the closer we get to God, we're really not giving anything up. Because he just gives us greater pleasure. He just gives us greater joy, greater peace in our hearts. I believe that the second, third most happiest beside Jesus, the Apostle John, he really was close to God. Enoch in the Old Testament, Enoch walked with God. He had this testimony, Hebrews says, that he pleased God. We got a self-pleasing world today out there. Men are lovers of self, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And you know, I feel sorry. And I feel sorry for myself when I'm like that, because that's not the way God wants us to live, to live for self. That's a miserable life. Oh, but what joy there is when we put God first, others second, ourselves last. What a pleasure it is to stay connected to him, to dwell in him, to follow him. And you know, the Bible says we have fellowship one with another, 1 John. Again, he's talking about fellowship, this one that was so close to our Lord, perfectly inspired by the Holy Spirit. Says we got fellowship one with another, but truly, indeed, it's our fellowship with God Almighty. It's the greatest fellowship of all. I would rather lose all human contact than to lose my fellowship with God. I really would, and I think we should be that way. Now, I mean, I enjoy people. I'm not a hermit, and I'm not going to go out to a monastery or something like that. But that should be greatest for us and most precious for us. And you know, the other things will follow. The other relationships will follow and be enriched by this. So here's Abraham, a friend of God. There's Mary. There's women in the Bible filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Mary, she was not perfect, and she needed to be saved just like we do. Well, what a godly woman filled with the Holy Spirit. And John the Baptist's mother, Elizabeth, and as they had fellowship one with another, and they were praising God, and what they were excited that God was working in their life. Oh, what a pleasure it is on this side. Someone said it like this, and many times been said, if the Christian life was it, we'd still have a better life. If there was no heaven, if there was no hell. But there is a heaven. It's just right around the corner. Every funeral that I do or every funeral that I attend, I don't think about, you know, the lost so much as I used to do before. Because I think I'll see you in the morning. It'll be soon. You see, that lesson I go rambling, but that lesson that I remembered when I was 20 years old, I didn't tell you the finish of that story. She said, you don't finish your stories, I know that. Anyway, so it was about the brevity of life. The brevity of life, how short life is. Like is it compared life to a vapor, to a tale that's told, to the fog or whatever that appears for a time and then vanishes away. All these things our life is compared to. It's short. It's brief. But the good news, it's just a test. It's just temporary. We're not home yet, child of God. It's going to get better. Amen. And I believe this, if we get close, stay close to God, it'll get better here too. Whatever happens, God will be with us. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Here's Brother Paul and Silas sitting in prison. They're in stocks. They're in pain. It's midnight. They're right with God, though. They start praising God. They probably couldn't raise their hands. They're in stocks. But anyway, they start praising God, singing songs. And then the Philippian jailer was saved. They were used as a testimony. Why? They knew that God's presence, even though they're in that prison in pain, no doubt, God's presence was with them, and it would be temporary. Paul says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. So in the meantime, folks, let's practice his presence. Let's abide in his presence. Let not neglect such an important, I mean, it's silly. When you know somebody, I know somebody that knows everything. I know somebody that knows my past. I don't even know what's going on right now. My wife can testify to that, no. But anyway, we don't even know what's going on in this room. We really don't. God knows your next thought before you think it. God knows the next thought of everybody in the universe, everybody in the earth. And yet, he cares about us. And we know him. And he is my lot. The lions have fallen to me in pleasant places. I've got it made because I'm a child of God. I've got it made because I've got a home in glory. I've got it made because I know the path and the presence and the pleasure of being with God. And you know that too. Many of you know that here tonight. Are you really enjoying that life? Are you saying, well, you know, I wish I was done with this. I wish this was different. Then I'll be happy. Or maybe so-and-so, they're going to make me happy. Hey, that's not going to happen, my friend. If you're planning somebody else to make you happy, that's not going to happen. But you can have joy in God. That's putting too much on another person. But you can have joy in God. You can have joy in his presence. And you can have joy in a family. You can have joy in friends. But God first in his presence is fullness of joy. Yeah, I'll show you that path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Let's pray. Father, thank you for allowing us to come here tonight. Just a simple message. And God, I pray you'll challenge our hearts. Lord, how we neglect your presence. Oh, we get so busy in things that don't amount to anything, wasting our time. And Lord, you're put on the back burner. And we'll say, Lord, I'll meet with you tomorrow. Or Lord, I'm just going to tip my head at you. We don't say this, but Lord, we do this. I'm just going to tip my head at you today. Or just say, thank you, Lord, for being my God. And that's it for today. I'll see you tomorrow. And then we get too busy tomorrow. Whatever happens. Oh, we need to cherish this relationship and cultivate it and make it first in our life. This wonderful relationship with you, Lord. Just help us to do that in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. We ask God to speak to your hearts now. We're done with the message. But we appreciate the attention. It's always a good place to preach out here. And just let God work in your life to realize Satan's going to try to get you down. There's something in your life right now that he's saying, look at what you're supposed to be a Christian, or God's supposed to answer your prayers, and look, this still hasn't changed. And Satan's touching that thing. Does God really care about you? Absolutely cares about you. You may be going through a test right now. I want to tell it, if you know the Lord, you've got it made. You got a chance to be in his presence. You got a chance every day that others might see your joy and they might glorify your Father, which is in heaven. God wants you to have that joy. God wants us to enjoy his presence. Brother Tim, if you'll lead now.